Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Hey everybody, it's happening again. I'm so excited. Philly Podcast Festival is happening again this year. PodFest 2014 will be taking place at Tattooed Moms, which is on South Street in Philadelphia, August 19th through the 24th. And there are a ton of locally grown podcasts talking about all sorts of different topics. And you can come hang out, watch a live show. It's going to be amazing. A lot of people have giveaways. It'll be just awesome. So there's going to be cool shows there, including Sex with Timmery. We're going to talk about some sex, I imagine. There's also going to be like Unspoiled, Story Shuffle, Action Phase, Talking Nerdy, The Pincushion, Going to Hell, Stark Raven Mad, a bunch of other shows. There's so many. If you want the full lineup, if you want the schedule, you want more information, you go to phillypodfest.com and you're going to find out all sorts of stuff there. So get excited and we look forward to hanging out with you. Welcome to Sex with Timmery! It's the live one! What? All right, so we're going to have some burlesque. We got Cherry Bomb from Peekaboo Review. We're going to have the beautiful women of Manny Petty doing some sketch comedy. Yeah, I know, right? And in fact, a couple of the members of Manny Petty, the very first time they ever performed together was here. So this is like historic because there's also Caitlin from Manny Petty. This is actually her last night performing in Philly too. So, no, but she's going to go be famous and then you're going to get to tell people that you saw her here. So it's good for you. It's good for you. So it's very exciting. We also are going to have our very own Notorious OMG doing some... I'm not entirely certain what's going to happen, but, you know, it's OMG, so it's going to be great. I'm excited about it.
Me neither. That's what...
Like, he's just right now become, like, our tech savior. So that's what he's figuring out. In the meantime, anybody want some free shit?
Yeah!
Are we pro-free shit?
Yeah!
Right on. Okay. You know, I didn't even check in. So, like, how many people have ever listened to the Sex with Simmery podcast before? Anybody?
Woo!
Cool, right on. And how many people are like, I don't know what the fuck I'm at right now? I just showed up. Like, somebody told me to come here. So hopefully you get free stuff, because then you'll be like, I'm going to that more often. Because this is our first time doing the show live here. We did a live episode as part of the Philly Podcast Festival that was... really successful. There's like a very vibrant podcasting community in Philly. And we had some pole dancers and it was great. But this is our first time here at Taboo. And we're trying to see like if this is a thing that we're going to keep doing. So it'll be fun. In order to win the free shit, you need to know some stuff though. All right. I know. Right. All right. So we're going to start out easy. It's all sex trivia. I don't know if you knew the show was about sex. So it's all sex trivia. If you know the answer, shout it out in a way that I can identify where you are.
Dildo.
Not yet. But I like that you were practicing. So that's good. All right. So for our very first giveaway, which is Easter related, we're going to get to the sexy stuff. This delightful little Cadbury bunny. Our first question is, ready? The only body part whose sole function is sexual pleasure.
Clitoris.
Boom. Who said it first? I don't even know. All right. Bunnies. Yay, it was the clitoris. All right. All right. For some Reese's Pieces peanut butter candy in the shape of a carrot. There's a theme. There's a theme. All right. What in... Yeah. You know, I don't know. I would not recommend it. I would not recommend this. Like, it's gonna melt. It's gonna definitely melt. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe... I'm not recommending this as a dildo. Definitely not as a butt plug, because there's no flared base.
All
right. Okay. So, for the chance to win the Reese's Pieces peanut butter candies in the shape of a carrot, the question is, what incurable STI, if treated right away, may never have another outbreak?
Herpes.
We need to raise our hands. Who said it? There you go. You got the herpes carrot. All right. We're going to hand raising. All right. What did I have next? All right. It's going to get a little bit more exciting. This is for our gender heads. This is more scholastic of a prize. We've got the composing gender Bedford Spotlight Reader for the people who are being like smart, literate, and whatnot. For a chance to win this, who is the porn star and director who won 2014 the award, the Feminist Porn Award, for hottest dyke movie, and also for what was the other one? Tantalizing trans film. Who is the porn star and director who won Feminist Porn Award for those two?
Jenna Jameson.
No.
Nope. No. Closer. Thinking feminist porn. Queer feminist porn. Nope, we're in the ballpark.
Wait, did they perform as a dyke or direct dykes?
It was directed.
Buck Angel.
No.
Damn it, I'm out.
Man, all right. Trying to think. She's a porn performer in addition to being a director, known for bridging size differences in queer porn. Blonde, very pretty. Nobody? What is with this crowd? How do you not know obscure queer porn stars? Many people knew herpes, so that's good. Okay, the correct answer was Courtney Trouble. Okay, all right. Maybe you just didn't win the book. All right, for a chance at winning, the man who made love to more women than Casanova and the apocalyptic aphrodisiac meet G. This was sent to us like by somebody who wanted to be like on the podcast, and we're like, okay, we'll take your book. I haven't read it. I don't know. You let me know if it's good, and then tell me if I need to have him on the show. All right, so the question is, people who are fans of lunar porn are into what? Lunars.
Werewolves.
Lunars.
Werewolves.
Lunars.
Vampires?
Lunars.
L-O-O-N-E-R-S. Oh.
Balloons! Balloons is the correct answer! Balloons is the correct answer. Well done. No, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. So, lunar porn is really interesting because it falls into two entirely different camps, right? So, among lunars, there are poppers and there are non-poppers. All right? So, for the poppers, you will pop that balloon. In fact, that is what the point is. You've been waiting for that the whole time. You've just been building up the anticipation, watching her bounce on that thing, or however you're working the balloon into it, and it's gonna be, that's the money shot, that's the payoff. For non-poppers, to pop the balloon in the porn would be just, oh, that's just devastating. That would be just like, what? That would just be like killing a kitten, and it's just gonna kill your buzz. So, you know, lots of different lunars.
But I didn't pop that balloon.
All right, it's going to start getting a little bit harder. Getting harder. All right, so this is for the news heads, people who follow Sex in the News. And this is for a chance to win. This is a pretty good one. Geek's Guide to Dating by Eric Smith of our own, like, Geekadelphia and that whole world. So for your chance to win this, as of this week, Hawaii finally made it illegal for undercover police to do what? Have sex with hookers. Correct story. Correct story. Geek's Guide to Dating. Got a couple more things to give away. All right. For some peeps. This is totally like representative of the question too. All right. So which starlet confirmed that while she was in rehab, she made a list of everyone with whom she'd had sex, and the list includes Ashton Kutcher, Ryan Felipe, Zac Efron, Colin Farrell. I saw yours first, yeah. You got some peeps. Okay, so this is going to be our last one for right now. This is the mood sign. This is a very exciting prize, and I don't entirely understand how it works. The idea is that you set this out in your house, and it's got these two different little flags you can put up, and you can put different cards in it. And so you leave this up, and then, like, your person who lives in your house, also with you, with whom you evidently have sex, will see it, and they'll be like, oh, that's what they want to do. So you can indicate that. And then later, you'll be like, so you... So you set out a thing earlier. I got your memo. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I saw your card. So for an opportunity to win the mood sign. All right. I'm gonna crowdsource this one. Let's do a secret talent. Who's willing to come up here and do a secret talent to win the mood sign? Like a stupid human trick, whatever. You can win the mood sign. I feel like we got some stupid human tricks in this front row. Matt, I hear that Matt's gonna twerk. All right, stupid human trick, come on up. What is your trick? First of all, young lady, what is your name?
Felicia.
Felicia, everybody say hi to Felicia.
Hi, Felicia.
Felicia, what is your stupid human trick?
I can roll my tongue.
She can roll her tongue. All right, so come on up, and we're going to show all the people. So for a chance to win the mood sign, everybody look at her mouth. Oh. Totally worth it. Totally worth it. Well earned. Well earned. All right. You good? Okay. All right. So with that, we're gonna bring up our first performer of the night. This is we are in the presence of royalty. I don't know if you knew. Gender fuck royalty. We have the notorious OMG.
Hey. Before I even get started, are you hanging out? Are you staying? Are you like, oh,
I'm lettermaning this shit.
All right. Yes. Alright, just what we need, more old white men on television telling us what to think. I think that's fantastic. I mean, Colbert, but through, anyway, alright, I'm not even going to go there. I'm done.
Young
white. I know. Yeah, middle. Alright, so, yeah, youngish. My first actual question, was it nice to hear hi Felicia instead of my Felicia? Like,
yes.
Are you so over that?
Yes.
I feel bad for every Felicia in the world, just having, and like, if you don't, alright, no? Alright, that's fine. Alright, so, as I've been introduced, my name is the Notorious OMG. I am neither king nor queen, but in fact genderfuck royalty, which usually involves me wearing a variety of different things like leather and lace and heels and all of these different things. And then today I was just a really confused, angry sound technician without wires. So I thought about like changing into an outfit while I was up here, and then I was like, nobody needs to see my balls while I'm telling a story, so... And you're like, well, maybe. That would be worth my $5, right to admission. So there are like shades of opinions on whether or not my balls would add or detract to the show. I have my jock strap in my bag, so we can have a drink later, and I'll just take my pants off if you were interested.
Did you wax your balls?
Shaved recently. Wax is like a real, that's a lot on that. Do you wax your balls? Does that work?
I have not, but I was just curious.
Okay. I have some places that I'd like to do laser hair removal on, and I'm like, I can stand that pain on my back, but I'm like, do I want lasers aimed at my baby maker? Like, that sounds like a lot. So, I don't know. So if anybody has done varying ball hair removal techniques, I'd like to talk to you after the show and get like a rubric and breakdown if you would. But until that time, I would like to tell a story. I believe, oh look, it didn't put the title at the top. I believe this is called, Footballers, Ranch Hands, and Hot Homo Sex. So, without further ado, the moment that crystallized my attraction to male-bodied members of the human species, and specifically sexual attraction, is as clear to me as if it happened yesterday. Not having yet turned 14, I was one of the very youngest people navigating the crowded and still unfamiliar hallways of my high school when I saw him coming towards me like a vision of testosterone and bravado incarnate. He was square-jawed and muscular. Oh my gosh, it sounds like such Danielle Steele bullshit. I'm so sorry. There's no phrases like love pudding coming up, just FYI. He was wearing his red football jersey in team solidarity for that coming weekend's home game, his dark beard clashing violently with his yellow blonde hair. Yes, my friends, this was suburban New Jersey in the late 90s, and he was suffering from a badly bleached coiffure that was sexy for that and only that moment in space and time. And I was in lust. My first thought, bursting forth with all the articulate nuance and depth that one would expect from a near-genius teen who had started speaking at 9 months old and not stopped once since, was, oh my god, he's hot! Immediately followed by, what? Was that? What could it mean? And now, with the advantage of hindsight, how had I not seen this coming? Looking back, it all makes sense. I can now remember my pre-sexual attractions to men, starting with watching Hey Dude on my family's giant console television set. It was Nickelodeon's cowboy comedy about the Bar None Dude Ranch, which, come on, how portastic is that name? I decided that Ted, with his dark locks, deep red tan, and cowboy hat was... he was something. He was something that made me decide that it would be awesome if he took his shirt off and I slept on his bare chest. I was probably 5 at the time. Around the same age, I got lost on the beach and immediately found a lifeguard to help return me to my mom. Figuring that I would be better at heathen spotting her and recognizing the significant disadvantage of my wee stature, he immediately hoisted me onto his shoulders. As I straddled him with his hands on my thighs and my little feet kicking against his bare chest, I was again washed over by a pre-sexual longing to remain close to this man's body. Then, there was Mr. Mark. One of my summer camp counselors the year before I started the 5th grade, Mr. Mark was the man amongst boys that put the rest of my prepubescent brushes with queer desire to shame. Picture it. Suburban New Jersey again, this time a few years shy of my high school crush on the wide receiver, which was either the position he actually played or the sexual position I had foisted upon him backwards through time. But I digress. Mr. Mark was the template for the brawny masculine ideal, at least physically, that I would never grow into. Beard broad and muscular, I remember him clearly in his yellow racerback gold gym tank top that offset his deeply tanned skin and the requisite bad tribal tattoos on his shoulder and massive biceps. My favorite game at pool time was to get Mr. Mark to swim underwater as far as possible without coming up for air, taking me with him. The two of us in the chlorine-y blue aquascape, sound and time dampened and distorted by our submersion, I would press myself in a prescient manner into his back, arms wrapped around his thick neck and and squeezing my chubby thighs into his dense torso. Then I quite literally rode him and savored the feeling of his full musculature of his body pressed against me, rippling through the pool, gloriously enthralling and powerful. My other counselor that summer was Miss Lisa. Sweet and kind, she was the kind of person that children immediately adore and look up to, and dogs find themselves flopping over in front of, panting joyfully and trusting their soft bellies unconditionally in the basket of her glow. The flirtation of Mr. Mark and Miss Lisa was the talk of the 9-year-old, and we followed their interactions like bored housewives watching soap stars fall in and out of love and comas. We rooted for them. Even I rooted for them, despite Mr. Mark being the object of my own desire. I couldn't articulate it then, not to myself or anyone, how I wanted him, nor was there anyone in my life to show me that such a pairing might be realized. So much so that I didn't even bother imagining myself as Miss Lisa. I couldn't be the girl any more than I could be a boy and have a man. So I rooted for them. I just wanted these two beautiful people whom I looked up to be together. It felt right. It felt like they'd be winning. And therein lied the answer to my earlier post-self-inquiry as to how I could not have seen coming my attraction to the footballer with the unfortunate choice of hair color. Quite simply, before that watershed moment between classes, there had only been a few scattered indications that such an attraction was possible, and none of them indicated that it would lead to anything but being ostracized. It had only been 9 months prior when the youth minister at my Episcopal church was fired for being a lesbian. She was the first out gay person that I knew, and she was only out to me after the firing. Appropriate to my postmodern, continuously curious and critical me, my moment of stark clarity in the dull rush of my high school hallway was soon lost to years of questioning, negotiating, and continually redefining every aspect of sexual attraction, including my own gender identity. Years after gay versus bi ceded to queer identity and disidentity politics, and the possibilities and realities of sex seemed to mock binaries at every turn, one fact remained. In the eyes of medical science and the common beholder, the bodies I am often attracted to are considered homo when compared to mine. And whatever other possibilities I remain open to, the sight of a dimpled, smoldering, all-American god next door leaves me stunned now as it did then. I momentarily lose eons of evolution and decades of vocabulary, left with a slack-jawed, oh my goddess, he's hot. Only now, unlike then, my desire isn't disjointed and unmapped. It is specific. Be he ranch hand or jock, lifeguard or summer camp counselor, I know what I'm after. Sweaty and raucous, cock slurping, ass eating, ball slappingly glorious, passionate, humorous, intimate, and hot homo sex.
Alright, so we're gonna move slightly. Ladies and gentlemen, very, 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 superlatively excited to bring to the stage at this time Philadelphia's most fallopian-tubed comedy group, Matt and Patty!
Anyone want to tell me what's been going on here? Alright, so that's how it's going to be. These past 2 days have seen the worst spree of delinquent activity ever here at St. Thomas High. Debbie, you want to tell me why Mr. Capos found his car flipped upside down in the faculty parking lot? Huh? Hey, Tasia, how is it that the entire basketball team came up to me with sexual harassment complaints because someone in an old woman mask ran through the locker room slapping asses? Rhonda, can you tell me why Librarian Bianchi has claw marks across her face? Or why we have to buy all new cafeteria trays because someone snapped the old ones in half? Does anyone have any idea who may have spray painted "Go set yourself on fire, asshats" across the length of the football field? Or who cut the ponytails off a bunch of freshman girls at the abstinence assembly and then set them on fire over a Bunsen burner in the science lab of an already emotionally unstable teacher? Can anyone fill me in as to what's going on here? Is it drugs? The pressure of senior year too much, so you're numb in the pain? Is it gang activity? Hazing? Trouble at home? What's going on here, girls? Shit! You really want to know what's going on, Miss Lee? Yeah, Rhonda, there is a problem here, and we need to stop it before it gets out of hand. Even more so than it already is. What kind of drugs are you girls doing?
Man, fuck you! You think you know me? I'm not on drugs, and I have no problems at home. Don't make assumptions about my life!
Well then, what is it, Rhonda?
You wanna fucking know?
Yeah, I do!
I'm on a fucking juice cleanse, alright? Man, I haven't eaten a solid fucking food in 2 days, and I still got 3 more to go. Yeah, and then after that, I'm going on a raw diet, so it's gonna be nothing but greens and nuts. Man, you think you know me? Well, the first clue, Miss Lee. You know what it's like, sitting in fifth period, just thinking, God, just like, let me do the work and get out, because in my locker, I got lemon juice, and agave nectar, and cayenne. But that's not enough. No, it's not. So then I start to go fucking crazy. And most of the time, I don't even know what's going on. Like, I'm flipping over tables, and I'm punching out PE teachers before what's happening is even occurring to me. And my body is resetting and it's flushing out toxins. And the fucking hunger is making me lose my shit!
Rhonda, I had no fucking clue.
Nah! Get in.
Look, please, just take this. Please eat this right now. Please.
You think you can just give me a granola bar and everything will go back to normal? Shit. I wish it would. But I'm 2 days into this. There ain't no going back now. So you can take that Clif Bar and you can stick it straight up your butt. I'm out.
Thank you. Oh, sure, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I got this for you. All right, let me just get...
Oh, my God.
Glasses on.
I didn't know you need glasses.
Oh, yeah, just when I read, I sometimes need glasses, so...
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to put them on.
Wait,
and...
how bad are your eyes?
Oh, well, this one is a -7. This one is a negative.
Oh my God, like I can't get over it. You're like, a Clark Kent version of yourself, where like when you have the glasses on, like you're so unattractive. Oh my God, I can't get over it.
The salesman said that these frames complemented my bone structure.
Was he wearing his glasses?
No, he was. Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, I feel so bad for you. Wait, can I have your glasses?
What?
No.
No,
it'll be fine. No, give me your glasses, and that way I can see, like, what the world looks like when you don't have them on. You know, because, like, my eyes are, like, really good. They're, like, pilot good. And, like, your eyes are, like, all fucked up. And so if you give it to me, I can, like, see what kind of crazy world you scramble through every day. Come on, give your glasses.
No, how old are we? Oh, you cannot have them.
Come on, give me your glasses, you nerd.
No, you know what? You know what? Just stand there and let me read this memo for you, for our client. And just let me do my job, okay? And you cannot have my glasses.
Right, sorry, Jesus.
They're functional. So just wait there while I read.
Okay.
Oh, hey, I didn't know you wore glasses.
Oh, yeah, sometimes I wear glasses when I have to read. I have to wear glasses.
Here.
Oh, okay. This is a fun thing to do with glasses.
Oh my God! Your left eye is exactly like mine!
Oh, yeah! Negative 7!
I go to Dr. Shapiro here on 17.
I go to Dr. Shapiro on 17.
That is crazy!
It's a small world that we live in!
Such a small world!
Yeah.
You have a great day!
You have a great day! Yeah, maybe I'll see you at Dr. Shapiro's office. That'd be crazy. Okay.
Yeah,
just like my glasses.
What the fuck was that?
What was what?
You just like let her wear your glasses.
Well, we exchanged glasses. Found out about each other's glasses.
Yeah, no, I know. Like, you got so annoyed at me when I wanted to wear your glasses.
Well, it's a little annoying when someone who doesn't need glasses asks you to wear your glasses.
Oh, well, sorry, I'm not part of the glasses club.
What? There's no club. I need vision correction. She needs vision correction. It's not like a club. It's not like a fun club. They're gonna correct my vision medically.
Let me get your glasses.
No.
Give me your damn glasses.
No, you cannot.
Give me your glasses! I don't want my glasses! Give me your glasses!
Station, glowing!
fallopian tubes and one uterus. That's me. The other is proves an egg. The egg travels down that fallopian tube into the uterus. Well, that's ovulation.
Menstruation station, ovulation.
Seen Manny Petty before? All right, all right. Cool. So, how long has Manny Petty been a thing?
August of 2011.
Coming up on
like
3.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
And it's
our show was actually at Taboo.
So, okay, you've had, like, multiple incarnations. You've had, like, new folks come in and, like, folks move out and stuff like that. Like what, give a history of the Manny and the Petty.
Aubrey.
It all started with Madonna Refugia.
Yeah, Madonna Refugia.
She's the creator.
That's one of my whole members.
Okay. And the original members were Kay Thompson, Brianna Kelly, Shannon Brown, who moved to L.A., Madonna Refugia and myself. And then we lost Shannon to LA, and then we added Jess Ross, and then we lost Madonna to New York. And then we added Corinne, Jackie, and Caitlin Weigel, who's not here. And now we're losing two more. Caitlin Thompson, this is her last. Yeah.
No!
Yeah, yeah.
Full circle at Taboo.
Oh, very true. Very yeah, yeah. yeah.
Decision that you wanted to have it be always an all-female group?
Madonna needed to put together a group for an all-woman show here at Taboo, right?
Yeah.
And then, so that's how Manny Petty was born. And then they just kept, yeah.
Okay.
There was, like, one lost member, right?
P-Best.
Yeah, P-Best was in there.
No, it was...
Her friend.
Jen?
No, Robin, I believe. She was only in one show. She was, like, Madonna knew her through, like Facebook.
Oh,
or something.
Like, yeah. Come be on my show with me. Yeah, pretty much.
Yes. And then,
okay. So, how does is there any difference doing sketch comedy when your entire cast is female? Does it make a difference?
Not at all.
Okay.
I think you're more likely to play guy parts because you. I don't know. I'm in another group that has that's co-ed, and I don't like tend to play a lot of guy parts just because there's dudes there. So I think I don't know. It's like just easier sometimes, but
otherwise, like writing the sketches works about the same and like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. How does your creative process work? Like, who does the writing? Like, how do you figure out? Is it a collaborative thing?
Yeah, we all write, and we have, like, we shared on Celtics, and we just, like, hey, read this. I wrote it. What do you think? And we'll, like, meet and, like, actually read it out loud, see how it is, and then we'll decide if it's going to be in a show.
Yeah, make notes and rewrite.
Yeah.
We tried to write one thing together one time, and it was... It was a monster. Abomination. And so we were like, let's just write separate.
Cryogenically
frozen. Look at the synopsis of that sketch. That was...
No.
I mean, we can.
It's so bad. It was so bad.
Lindsay Lohan was cryogenically frozen in the future. It was Annie Hall. It was like an Annie Hall remake with the blue people from Avatar.
But then it was all like a fever dream. Like it was all a fever dream
for Lindsay Lohan. It's actually a mental institution.
Yeah, and like, that ended right then and there.
Too close to reality.
I know. It's too close to home. She Oprah called and was like, I'm making a documentary just like that right now. But I mean, it was fun. Yeah, yeah. It was fun doing it. Like, we were all like going around and basically
tell a lot.
You sassy newspaper maven.
Newspaper maven.
What?
I'm sorry. I don't talk usually. Well, no, it's like because we were taking turns like doing jokes.
You don't have to talk directly to me, Bree.
I always talk at you, Corinne, even when you're not there.
Intense eye contact.
Yeah, like when I'm looking in the mirror and I'm psyching myself up, I see you looking back at me. Is that creepy? I'm gonna stop talking. It was a shit show.
No, it was good. It was a bit in a
that
bit
was a
in
bit.
A bit.
So
it was like inception
by another bit.
Yeah.
I only communicate in bits.
I don't know
what to do with it either. I think we just
what else?
Everyone.
Yeah.
So out of the Penny Patty group, who's the best? Dancer.
Corinne.
Yeah. We were just having a discussion.
Corinne was on an awesome
on a dance team.
What?
College.
Yeah.
Called Oracles.
Not plural.
You told Neo how he would be the chosen.
Take this away from
me. Okay. Yeah, I was on a dance team in college. I went to Hampton University, which is an historically black college. HBCUs, big ups, and yeah, I danced in college rather than did my homework. So yeah.
All right, so I keep going back to this like writing idea where this is just like a thing I did one time. Like, okay, so, and I recommend when you go home, you take a piece of paper and you fold it over a bunch of times and you write one line of like erotica.
Yeah.
Pass it to your friend, and they don't see what you wrote, and they write a line, right? Yeah. And then at the end, you have the most fucked up, like, porn story.
Sexiest
book. Yeah. So that was, like, what came to mind when you were talking about, like, when you tried to write it together.
Well.
Yeah.
So, like, about how it went down, and then.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It was sort of. Frankenstein's monster was horrible.
It was. But at the time, it's like we were all like riding the high of doing this thing.
We're having fun. At the time, it's funny and silly.
Yeah.
Like, and then Lindsay Lohan does a thing like, and then it's all like so funny when you have like three wines deep, and then you get it on stage, and you're like, oh, fuck, like we should have.
Does that person have a baby arm coming out of their head?
Yeah.
Why do we think that was a? But ordinarily, it's like you write by yourself, like you write your sketch, and then you all meet up together and you workshop it. And there's the like collaboration comes in after that first draft.
Adding jokes,
or like pairing off and writing sketches, bullshitting together, and then like going off if somebody has a better idea for it. But yeah, all together, writing as a group, never again.
when you write stuff, do you have like an intention in your mind, like, oh, this part is definitely for this person because they do this like wacky old man voice or like whatever. Like how does that go?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Looking at you, Uncle Beauty.
I'd say that a dad that Kate has played every time.
I have that height and the authority.
Wait, but
deep baritone.
She's got the really nice raspy dad voice, yeah, too. That's like...
And I'm addicted to mustache glue.
Yeah. We had a spirit gum intervention earlier.
Oh, you're huffing it. I thought you were putting it on. You're huffing mustache glue?
No, I'm not. I'm not really huffing it.
Yes.
These are more bits within bits. We can't have one serious conversation. It is exhausting to talk about.
We'll just play you off vaudeville style.
That's kind of what I was hoping for.
Barbershop quartets on their way.
Right, so you're writing, and, like, what comes to mind? Like, what are the strengths of the other people in the group that you know, like, this person can definitely pull off the whatever? Like, what do you know is in your toolbox as a group?
I don't know. I think, I know Bree is just good for a punchline at the end. Or any just like scary, strange
character. She's like, yeah, intense weirdo.
Yeah. I wrote a sketch called Sassy, and as I was writing it, I had Kate and Jess Ross in my mind as I was writing it. So I don't know. It's like sometimes you have people in mind when you're writing things, and then sometimes it's just like, oh, I like at the end you're like, oh, this person could probably be this character.
Like, there's no hard feelings if you're like, oh, try this. Yeah. Like, you try to read this, and then somebody gets switched out.
Yeah.
It just means you're bad.
Yeah.
They'll switch you.
And you get slapped by everyone.
Yeah, you do the gauntlet.
So wait, I have a quick question, because you, when you said, like, you're good for the punchline at the end, that made me think of my comedic hero, Bea Arthur, and her trademark Bea Arthur withering stare is actually the reason that I can just look at a man with his feet up on the subway and make him hate everything about his life until he puts them down. So, you know, who are, like, between you guys, like, who are your comedic icons?
Oh, okay.
Maria Bamford. She's, like, the best weirdo in the world.
Maria Bamford?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I'm gonna like write
she's
that down.
A stand-up. She's she does like voices in her stuff, and it's like all very like organic, and it just like flows into it. It's crazy, but it's super original, and she's a genius.
A new person to look up. Awesome.
Yeah.
Amy Sedaris.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
Amy.
One.
Amy.
Yeah. I think most of mine are guys.
Yeah.
Like Jim Carrey, Chris Rock. Definitely. And Jamie Foxx. And I wish he would go back to doing comedy.
Yeah.
Like, he can sing and everything, but, like, do comedy.
Yell at people at award shows. And
yeah.
YouTube that. It's funny. He makes a stand-up comedian feel like total garbage for telling hacky jokes at an award show.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's good.
It's kind of mean. It kind of hurts your heart a little bit, but it's really funny. It's really funny.
It's
hilarious. Yeah.
Mine are...
Oh, wait.
We
don't know. You're not even okay.
I would say, no, it's Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's awesome.
Yeah, I love her. She's not like she's Christopher Guest. Those guys are some of my favorites.
And Chris Lilley, too. He's great.
Cool. I want to turn it over, actually, to the audience. Do you have any questions for any of the folks up on this stage? Like, myself included. All right.
Where'd you get your lipstick? For Jerry.
Oh, it's Max Ruby Woo, and then it's, like, a little bit of chapstick and glitter. But put it on with a brush.
Yeah.
Ruby
Woo? Ruby Woo. Just say, I need the matte red. And there, you don't have many choices, and this is the one. One.
What brand of glitter do you?
I have like a package of glitter, and I have every like I have pink and green and red and
like AC Moore, like,
several.
No. It has to be a finer grain of glitter, or else it'll cut your lips. Like I personally, faggot that I am, I have the Martha Stewart 24 pack, and that comes in pretty much every shade you could want. And because I like to drink alcohol while I'm performing, I actually can't do it with lipstick. It'll come off. But if you want a longer-lasting glitter lip, you can straight up put eyelash glue, like Duo latex-based eyelash glue. And then the thing is, you just get it wet in the shower, and you roll it like that, and it just rolls it off, and it just like pulls off in one big string.
Oh my God.
So So now you know, drag queen tip from me to you. The burlesque girls use chapstick. We use toxic chemicals right on our face. So.
So I have questions about like your sheets. Both of you, actually. Like,
glitter
okay.
everywhere. I can't get it out of my cubes, especially.
Just like covered
with
in sparkles.
Much. Okay. Pretty much everything. Or like you do laundry, but that like I had like a dress I wore out one night, and then I like pulled it out of the laundry, and like I flipped it right side out. I just like, poof. Yeah. It's like, wow, that went through the laundry and there was still like a fuck ton of glitter on there.
I find glitter
magical.
I find glitter on my dog because she has like more coarse hair and so it sticks in her longer. So anytime I hug her after I come home from, and like she'll just like trot by and just sort of like sparkle like a disco ball. Yeah, so it's an event. It doesn't ever come out. I also will say that like I did a photo shoot and had like a really large size diamond shaped glitter. And we found it in the happy trail of my roommate's lover 8 months later.
You guys need a vacuum.
No, you don't understand. There is no, there is nothing you can ever do to get it out. Like, maybe if you lint roller every surface, maybe. Because that's what I do. Last thing a drag queen does before going to sleep is you lint roller your face. Because that's the, like, yeah. I know, it would be. Is there any mustache? I performed last week. Okay, shocking, yeah. Take 4 to 7 days to come out of facial hair.
No,
you can see it, right?
You want the eye.
That's about how long, like, a sperm can live inside of a body. Like, ejaculated sperm can live in a body for almost as long as sparkle will stay on your face.
That's a creepy fact.
No, they'll live in there for up to 6 days.
Tailoring your teaching about sex to us weirdos. You're like, it's like how glitter stays on your body.
Exactly. Now I get it.
And
okay.
That's how theater babies are made.
do we have any other? We have another question.
Another question for Cherry. I was wondering, how difficult was it to choose a name to perform under, and where did you get to come up with?
Choosing a name for performing.
I had a show and I had to name myself, and me and my best friend at 18 got our first tattoos together, and they were cherries and they're still there and they really need to be touched up. And and I called myself Cherry Bomb, and then I was like, I'm going to change it. I'm going to come up with a great name. It's been 9 years.
How did you come up with cool. the OMG.
I crowdsourced it. I went to Twitter, and I knew I had really brilliant friends, and I especially asked my friend Faniel, who, he knows my, like, absolute love for giving people directions, so he had been calling, I know that's really weird, but, like, I love it, especially, like, when I'm in New York, and I'm on a platform, and people come up to me, and they assume I'm from New York, which I take as, like, not, which is no knock on Philly, but I do take as a compliment to, like, look like I belong, and, like, I know what I'm doing, and I'm not terrified, so I love giving people directions, especially in the New York subway, which I can do for some odd reason, and so he would always call me the Virgo Transit Fairy, because, right, and I was like, Faniel, I'm performing in, like, 2 weeks, and I need a name, and it, like, I don't want it to be too boy, and I don't want it to be too girl, and I want it to be, like, genderfuck and fabulous and memorable, and he's like, he sent me a list, and the Notorious OMG was, like, clear and above the winner, it's a title as much as a name, and I think it really fits my, the work that the stage sort of, I don't want to say persona, because I feel like I am the Notorious OMG all the time, but it fits who I am.
Cool. How did Manny Petty, how'd that name come from? Like, did anybody vote on that?
Madonna's irresponsible drinking.
Yeah.
Irresponsible drinking.
Yeah. When she drinks, when she drinks, she has this allergic reaction to alcohol that make her hands and feet go numb.
And she would call it a mani.
That's called a mani.
And you would think that would stop her from drinking.
No.
No.
Her like circulation. Is our name.
And she's not even in the group anymore, but you're still abiding by her weird allergic reaction.
Yeah,
okay.
Right,
all right, that's cool. In honor. Okay, so not that anybody asked, my burlesque stage performing name is Honey Tree Evil Eye. And the background on that is that, does anybody remember Spuds McKenzie?
Yeah.
Okay, Spuds McKenzie was the party dog, right? And in real life, Spuds McKenzie was a girl, was a bitch. So this is a bitch surrounded by sexy women drinking alcohol all day. In real life, that dog's name was Honey Tree Evil Eye. And I went, that's Yeah. I think we have time for like one more question. Do we have anybody else who has a question for anybody on stage? We were like on fire there for a second. This is your last chance. You have, this is going to be the last time this one is performing in Philly for a while.
I don't have a question, but okay. I just have something to say. All right. I know this is so embarrassing, but I just want to say that I know a lot of people in the audience, including people on stage, are going to dearly miss this one. And I know that she
Oh my God!
I love you, Kate, very much.
Oh. So much love for Kate Thompson! Yes! Oh, take that condom. Yeah, it's fire! Alright, so. We gotta roll out because there's a drag competition show next, right?
Drag competition show. So stay and drink, and if you want to see drag queens, do that. It's taboo. We have a lot of good drag queens. Yeah, and then be on the lookout for hopefully more of this.
Yeah. So we're trying to make this be like a thing, and we go to taboo, and hopefully next time there'll be sound.
Yes.
Woo! And we'll have like proper microphones, and like we won't have to initiate the launch sequence. It'll be great. It'll be great. So I want to thank absolutely every single person in this room. So I'm going to start out in order. The Notorious OMG for the erotica. the beautiful Cherry Bomb. All right. And Manny Patty, you have a show right after this.
Yeah.
We're doing improv.
Not sketch.
Okay. All right. So if you want, follow us over.
Yeah.
BYOB.
Yeah! Alright, and I want to thank absolutely every single fucking person in this room. I am so glad that you were here to be part of this. Thank you. Come take some condoms with Lou!
Give it up for Timmarie!
Hey everybody, it's happening again. I'm so excited. Philly Podcast Festival is happening again this year. PodFest 2014 will be taking place at Tattooed Moms, which is on South Street in Philadelphia, August 19th through the 24th. And there are a ton of locally grown podcasts talking about all sorts of different topics. And you can come hang out, watch a live show. It's going to be amazing. A lot of people have giveaways. It'll be just awesome. So there's going to be cool shows there, including Sex with Timmarie. We're going to talk about some sex, I imagine. There's also going to be like Unspoiled, Story Shuffle, Action Phase, Talking Nerdy, The Pincushion, Going to Hell, Stark Raven Mad, a bunch of other shows. There's so many. If you want the full lineup, if you want the schedule, you want more information, you go to phillypodfest.com and you're going to find out all sorts of stuff there. So get excited, and we look forward to hanging out with you.